Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We've proven the experts wrong again and again and again, and we're not stopping now.
Yeah, the experts were wrong. They said he would win by 15 points, and he won by 4. You know which expert turned out to be right?
We're looking at our poll numbers that say we're down somewhere between 3 points and 7 points. So I'm enthused by that. That was, we've been closing the gap, and right now this is still all about who comes out and votes on Tuesday.
That was Bill Thompson speaking on Sunday, and sure enough, Bloomberg won re-election by just 4.5 points. He lost in Brooklyn and the Bronx, so will he do things any differently in his third term after the small margin of victory?
We're going to do it with the same independent approach we've always taken, making decisions based on the facts, not on the politics.
Mayor Bloomberg from his victory speech last night. So more of the same? That's never true in a third term. Just ask Ed Koch or Fiorella LaGuardia. Our phones are open for your reactions. We will talk to the public advocate-elect Bill de Blasio in a few minutes about whether he'll use the office to keep a check on Mayor Bloomberg in a different kind of way than Betsy Gottbaum has. 212-433-WNYC for anything you want to say about the mayoral race, why you voted the way you did, why you didn't vote, or anything else. 212-433-9692 or post to WNYC.org or to our Brian Lehrer Show Facebook group. With us first is Joyce Pernick, the former New York Times columnist and Metro editor and author of the new book, Michael Bloomberg, Money, Power, Politics. Hi, Joyce.
Hi there.
How surprised are you by the result in the mayoral race overall?
I was. I was as surprised as anyone else. I thought he would win by a smaller margin than he did in 2005, but by more than he did.
Less than a 5-point victory for Mr. Bloomberg, and you've been looking closely at those numbers.
Yeah. It was all a matter of turnout, because if you look at the figures, you find out that Bill Thompson and Freddie Ferrer got about the same number of votes. Of course, Ferrer ran against Bloomberg in 2005, and Thompson this time.
Bill Thompson and Freddie Ferrer got about the same number of votes.
Yes.
And yet Thompson came within 4.5 points. Ferrer got swamped.
Right. So why? Because Bloomberg's vote was much lower. There was a lower turnout, and the non-voters were all potentially Bloomberg vote. It all came out of his hide. Let's put it that way. So then that raises the question, why? There are only a few ways to look at it. One is that Bloomberg people were complacent, and they figured, well, he hadn't won. Why bother to go to the polls, even though he had this very costly vote-pulling operation? The other possibility is that people were really annoyed with him and resentful at his third-term strategy and at his spending. I suspect it was a combination of both, but given the vote-pulling operation, I think it was more that Bloomberg's strategy backfired.
And when you look at the exit polls, there are numbers that indicate a large percentage of those, and I'm going to look for the exact stat here.
And the quotes, too. People were really annoyed.
A large percentage of those who voted for Thompson said that term limits and the massive campaign spending did have a lot to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, it is stunning. Now, of course, the Bloomberg people would say, you said we didn't have to spend all that money, and we did. I don't think the figures bear that out, because Thompson, you know, didn't get a smaller number of votes than Ferrer did 4 years ago.
Here's an intriguing one. I see in the Times exit poll that 70% of those who voted in the mayoral race approve of the job that Mayor Bloomberg is doing.
Right.
So 70% approval, but just 50% of the vote. What does that mean?
It's very hard to understand. It sounds like it sounds to me, a lot of this is guesswork, right? Educated guesswork. It sounds to me that some New Yorkers were sending Bloomberg a message saying,
absolutely.
I don't know how that can't be. It's like, you know, we don't like this imperial mayor business. We like the job you did, but you don't like the way you've been conducting yourself. So pay attention to us.
Okay. So in the screening room, let's clear a few lines. And my apologies to some of you who just called who are not going to be able to talk to. But we're going to clear a few of our lines for people in a couple of categories that have just come up here. If you think Mayor Bloomberg is doing a good job, but you voted against him, We would like to hear from you.
Oh, that's a great idea.
212-433-WNYC. You got that? If you are consistent with that stat in the Times, because it looks like there's about 20% of the people who voted yesterday who think that Mayor Bloomberg is doing a good job but voted for Bill Thompson. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Or if you voted for Bloomberg in 2005...
Stayed home.
Exactly. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 for people in either of those categories. Quarter of Bill Thompson's voters, by that calculation, approved of the job the mayor is doing. And that reminded us of a classic movie clip. So tell us, Joyce, if you think Michael Bloomberg's relationship with the people is a little like this from the Monty Python movie, Life of Brian.
They take everything we had. And not just from us, from our fathers, and from our fathers' fathers.
And from our fathers' fathers' fathers.
Yeah.
And from our fathers' 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 fathers.
All right, Stan, don't labor the point. And what have they ever given us in return?
The aqueduct.
What?
The aqueduct.
Oh, yeah, they did give us that. That's true, yeah.
And the sanitation.
Oh, yeah, the sanitation, Reg. Remember what the city used to be like?
Yeah, all right, I'll grant you, the aqueduct and sanitation are two things the Romans have done.
And the roads.
Well, yeah, obviously the roads. I mean, the roads go without saying, don't they? But apart from the sanitation, the aqueduct and the roads...
Irrigation. Medicine. Huh? Education.
Yeah, all right, fair enough.
And the wine.
Yeah, that's something we'd really miss, Reggie, the Romans left.
Public baths.
And it's safe to walk in the streets at night now, Reg.
Yeah, they certainly know how to keep order. Let's face it, the only ones who could in a place like this.
All right, but apart from the sanitation, the medicine, education, wine, public order, irrigation, roads, a fresh water system and public health, what have the Romans ever done for us?
Brought peace.
Oh, peace. Shut up.
All right. So complaining about Roman rule.
I love it.
In Monty Python's Life of Brian from the 1970s. So how prescient was that?
Yeah. What else is new, right? Isn't that marvelous? Totally marvelous. But that must be, you know, what Bloomberg and his people are thinking this morning. It's like, what else do you want from me? I brought you peace. I brought you low crime. And you're turning not so much against me, but you're not exactly energized by me. What do you want?
Robert in Staten Island, you think Bloomberg is doing a good job, but you voted for Thompson?
Yes. I think Bloomberg does a great job by looking at facts and numbers and running the city purely like a business without having too much of an agenda other than that. The one thing that I don't like is that he's encouraged or allowed all these big construction projects which price real New Yorkers out of New York. I mean, he's done great with the crime levels and technology and all the other stuff, the trees. But Thompson's like seems like more of somebody that a New Yorker can relate to and have a conversation with, whereas Bloomberg is preaching down from his pedestal. And it might seem like that to people. Although he's doing a good job, he might be coming across as more of a dictator than a mayor.
So wait, what do you want? Somebody who's going to do a great job or somebody you'd like to have a beer with?
Well, no, I want somebody that's going to do a great job, but understand the job he's doing is for regular people, not for only a specific segment of the population.
Got it. Robert, thank you very much. And also joining us now is public advocate-elect Bill de Blasio. Congratulations on your official election, Mr. Public Advocate-elect. We knew you were going to get elected, but as of last night, it's official.
Thank you, Brian, and I think your choice of the Life of Brian clip was inspired.
And you're on also with Joyce Pernick, formerly
Hi, Joyce.
From The Times, who has the new book on Michael Bloomberg. Does the closeness of the margin affect how you will monitor or speak out against the mayor's policies as public advocate?
I think it affects everything. I think literally it is a mandate for a more democratic process and a more open process. And it's I think the last caller hit the nail on the head. People want the mayor to listen more and be more responsive.
And what does that mean, policy-wise?
I mean, I'll give you another example, the development process in this city. The mayor's approach, and I think the Times laid this out very nicely a week ago, the mayor's approach has been to basically uncritically accept what developers have put forward and not achieve as much community benefit as possible in terms of things like jobs for local residents and affordable housing. This election result now calls into question that kind of policy. And from my point of view as public advocate and someone with a seat on the City Planning Commission, I'm going to say, look, we appreciate the mayor's competence. We probably have a lot of the same goals. But a lot of the policies need to be reviewed now, and they need to be more responsive to communities. I think there's a bigger statement here of people saying the mayoralty needs to respect community needs and needs to hear people's concerns and act on them more distinctly.
And what do you do on day one?
Well, one of the things I've talked about from the beginning is I want to focus on empowering public school parents, because I literally believe we cannot fix our public schools unless we bring parents into the equation. And bluntly, the mayor and the chancellor, with all the good they have done in terms of education, they have had a very limited view of what role parents should play, either in terms of larger decision-making or the actual role in each school as volunteers and as people helping the process along. So the mayoral control law in Albany, I think, made some important reforms, including a greater emphasis on the role of parents, and I want to make sure those reforms get implemented. And another thing we've seen with the Bloomberg administration is when they don't like a law, city or state, they tend to be slow to implement. So I want to use the bully pulpit of the public advocate's office to make sure that those changes actually occur.
By the way, in front of you and Joyce Pernick and God and everyone, I want to make sure we give credit where credit is due for that Life of Brian clip idea. It came from Hendrik Hertzberg from The New Yorker, who made that reference in one of his pieces, and that parallel with the people's relationship with Mayor Bloomberg today. So we got that idea from
Rick
Hertzberg.
I'm sure God appreciates your full
That's
disclosure.
Right, absolutely. But, of course, we have the advantage over The New Yorker of being able to play the audio. So there you go. Joyce, anything you want to ask Bill before he goes?
Yeah. You going to run for mayor in 4 years?
You know, Joyce, I'm honored to have been elected public advocate. There's a lot to do. I've got to focus on this. But one more point on this. I mean, seriously.
Didn't expect an answer.
I do believe this is a mandate for a more democratic process. And what will be very interesting is whether the mayor picks up on that and acts accordingly. I think the public advocate's job is to be a watchdog and a check and balance on any mayor. This mayor in particular, I think, benefits from checks and balances. And I'm going to play the role aggressively. What will be interesting is, will he realize that the people have said something here and they want a more balanced approach and they want some moderation and they want different voices to be heard? That's going to be the big test in the coming months.
Quick question. You mentioned Albany and you mentioned schools. I wonder if where you stand on the issue that Bloomberg and his administration have opposed, which is to allow test scores to factor into a teacher's tenure decision about a teacher's tenure.
And Mayor President Obama is giving a big speech about that today.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am open to the concept, but my problem in general is whenever we bring test scores into play, whether it's the grading of schools or the way we approach education policy, it brings up the issue, are we looking at objectively and are we looking at all the necessary factors? When it came to the grading of schools, and you saw the first year's grades were very critical, the second year's grades were very generous, you know, it begs the question whether we aren't very selectively looking at the data. So I worry whenever we just look at test data, that's too subject to misinterpretation. That would be my upfront concern.
And the teachers' union will like that answer.
Yeah.
Public
well,
advocate.
They may. But one other thing, Brian, I just want to say. The other thing I think is affecting the environment this morning, and you saw it in the Times discussion of the exit poll, the overspending by the mayor, unprecedented, very troubling to a lot of voters, especially in the middle of the recession. And I hope this becomes a moment for a larger discussion about electoral reform and public financing of campaigns, because this just can't happen again. It's corrosive. And
but how do you stop a rich guy from spending his own money, which the Supreme Court has upheld as a constitutional right?
I'm deeply troubled by the Supreme Court's stance to date, and I hope that someday that will change. But more to the point, as you know, a number of states and localities have worked at trying to perfect public financing. I think we have a good program here in the city. I hope we can go farther with it. But I think the other point is where there needs to be more of a demand from citizens and leaders that well-off candidates not go there. I mean, this has really gone beyond the pale. And what's interesting is, with this public response, with it clearly being part of why a number of voters turned away from the mayor, hopefully candidates who can self-fund will realize that it is more than a double-edged sword and that the populace is increasingly rejecting it. You could make the same argument to some extent around Corzine.
New York City public advocate-elect Bill de Blasio, thank you very much. We'll talk to you many times in office, we hope.
Look forward to it.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And still with us is Joyce Pernick, former New York Times columnist and Metro editor, author of the new book, Michael Bloomberg, Money, Power, Politics. And Joyce, you asked Bill de Blasio if he's running for mayor for 4 years from now. And on some level, are both de Blasio and the controller-elect, John Liu, already running for mayor in 2013?
Well, they're certainly looking at it. I don't see any way that they couldn't be. It's early, but I had to ask, right? You have to ask.
But right.
There's
but
no doubt they're interested.
But we knew Betsy Gottbaum, as public advocate, was not getting ready for a mayoral run. Will that ambition or presumed ambition affect what we hear from Bill de Blasio vis-a-vis Michael Bloomberg and other things beginning on January 1st?
I don't think there's any doubt about it. I think the rhetoric will be much sharper. Whether the actions, I mean, it doesn't really have that much power, right? He's got a bully pulpit, as he pointed out. He can make a lot of noise. He doesn't have much power. So he can't do much with it other than press releases and statements.
How about Liu?
Liu can probably do more in a sense because he as a controller, he controls audits. And he decides what is audited. But I think Liu is a little less aggressive, or at least he has been, than I think de Blasio will prove to be. It's just a personal, temperamental issue.
Joe in Hell's Kitchen, you're on WNYC with Joyce Pernick. Hi, Joe.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I voted for Thompson for one reason, and you sort of hit the nail on the head a moment ago. You said, what can you do to stop a rich person from spending his money to win an election, and that's have term limits? And that's what to have. And Bloomberg caused the field of other contenders to scatter because he was just far too powerful, which is precisely what term limits are designed to stop. And even your guest, you know, his intentions for running, totally ego-based, as far as I'm concerned, and even your guest, when she was interviewed, I guess a couple of weeks ago, when her book came out, you know, was almost like an apologist for Bloomberg and saying that, well, you know, he didn't want to leave the spotlight. He was going to run for president, and he didn't make it. So he used his money and his influence to narrow the field to just him. And the election, I was actually very pleased with the election results last night because I initially thought that the election was held when the city council was coerced into allowing him to run again.
Do you think that the mayor is otherwise doing a good job?
Well, I'll tell you, I do. I do think he's otherwise been doing a good job because he's an efficient manager. And I'll give you a confession. I actually used to work for the mayor in his television station.
Uh-huh.
But he's an efficient manager. He runs things well. He keeps his eye on the goal that he's trying to achieve. But one criticism I would have for him is, as much as I feel that he has helped the poor, once they become better off, there's nowhere for them to go in this city.
Joe,
there's nothing really for the middle class. We all have to then move out of the city. There's nothing to retain the middle class. And with this socioeconomic divide that we have between rich and poor, we're missing a very important part of, I think, any urban life, and that's diversity. We need the rich, we need the poor, we need the middle class.
Joyce, you wanted to ask Joe a question?
Joe, just a quick question. I'm curious for whom you voted last time and the time before.
Well, actually, last time I was living in New Jersey.
Okay. How about in 01? You were also in New Jersey?
No, actually, I was in Virginia.
You get around.
Yeah, get around. Okay, Joe, thank you very much for your call. And Joe is another example of that stat that we were discussing before, that while the mayor only got 50% of the vote yesterday, 70% in the exit poll said they think he's doing a good job. And that's exactly why, because some people were so outraged by the spending and the term limits.
Well, you know what's really interesting here is that up until now, the public has been pretty widely polled on a question of a candidate's self-spending. And the public in New York has not cared. I mean, we've known that for years and years and years. Bloomberg in 01 did focus groups on this. And people said, it's okay by me. It's not my money.
So something changed.
Something changed this year. And I think it was a matter of a combination. You know, this is purely anecdotal, but I think it's a combination of outrage over the term limit strategy, pushing that change through the city council over the public's objections, or at least without a public public referendum.
And hard times, wouldn't you say?
And over-the-top spending and hard times. I mean, yeah. People were just talking openly about hanging up on those robocalls and telling people who were giving up Bloomberg flyers on the street, I don't want them. I mean, people knew who was running. They were fed up with all of this over-the-top spending.
And it felt to me like in the previous elections where Bloomberg was spending so much money, the effect was not that of being hit over the head constantly as it has been this year. For some reason, and maybe it's just an impression, maybe I'm wrong, but that there was more of a scalpel used and less of a sledgehammer to get the message out 100 different million ways to 100 million different micro-demographics. And this time we all saw it in our mailboxes over and over again. It was on all the mainstream TV shows over and over and over and over again, and with the absence of any Thompson counterpoint, just an impression. Joe in Hell's Kitchen brought up the other candidates who scattered.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to talk on the air briefly during our coverage last night to Anthony Weiner. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he wouldn't cop to kicking himself for not having run. But most of the pundits think that Weiner would have been a stronger candidate than Bill Thompson. And under the circumstances, and with Weiner's ability to rally a lot of middle-class resentment, which was part of the essence of his campaign when he was in the race, that he might have actually won yesterday.
It's hard to believe, but it's a possibility. I don't know. Weiner, I suspect that Weiner would not have worn well. Weiner is a very sharp guy. He's very aggressive. He's very caustic. I think you would have to factor into that assessment what kind of a candidate he would have proven to be. And I think he might prove, if he does try again, to be one of those candidates who the more people hear, the less they're taken with him. He's a tough guy. He's tough to work for. That's been amply demonstrated, all the people he's fired and or who have left him in anger. And he's a difficult character.
Before you go, any comments on any of the other races, the local races around town? Al Vann reelected in Brooklyn despite a challenge from a Working Families Party candidate. Two seats in Queens that were Democratic, including John Liu's seat in Flushing and Tony Avella's seat in Bayside, have gone Republican as of yesterday. Following any of these things?
I don't see a trend. I think they're too individual to the area. To me, the most, in a way, beyond the, of course, the Bloomberg Thompson race, which is my main interest, that the district in upstate New York is the most fun, the one where the moderate Republican felt that she had been forced out. And then the last I looked, it was the Democrat who won, and the conservative, who was the favorite of the right wing, lost.
That was the one that was supposed to be the national bellwether election, and the Democrat won in a district where Democrats haven't won since the Civil War. And yet, Democrat Tom Suozzi in Nassau County, not reelected yet in a neck-and-neck vote. We don't know which way that's going to go. The Democratic county executive in Westchester, Andy Spano, turned out decisively after many years in office. And, of course, Corzine and the governor of Virginia. So there's, you know, that people are going in various directions.
Yeah.
And we'll have to pull it all together as a trend over time.
A lot of fun. I love politics.
Joyce Pernick, her book is Michael Bloomberg, Money, Power, Politics. Thank you so much.
Delighted.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC. Coming up in a minute, now that people are living longer with AIDS, we will talk about aging with AIDS, and then we will look at maps as art. And if you want to take a sneak peek before we start the conversation, there's a beautiful book called Maps as Art, and we've taken some of them and put them on our website as a slideshow. So go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show to see those maps at art, and we'll talk about it coming up. Stay with us.